Jason Metza is one of those DFL candidates. He's an Iron Ranger from Virginia who currently serves in the Minnesota House. Jason Metza joins us in the studio now. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be in Grand Rapids this morning.
So tell us about your background a little bit, your story, and what led you to politics.
Yeah, so I grew up on the range here. My dad ended up getting laid off in 1982. My mom was a child care provider. We ended up moving our family down to Rochester and then found our way back home in my 11th grade year and ended up staying, moving around a little bit while I was going to school, and stumbled into politics almost on accident in about 2008 when I got involved.
Okay. It can't be an easy job to be in the Minnesota legislature, to be running for office. What is it about that keeps you doing this kind of work?
You know, my wife and I sat down every year when I was getting ready to file for office, and we were proud of the changes we were able to make in our community and our neighboring communities, working with legislators across the aisle. You know, I've got good friends throughout northeastern Minnesota here, and we've really had a wonderful time getting some bills passed that invest in our schools, invest in our community infrastructure, and really move the ball forward for the next generation so that, you know, our 18-month-old Josiah can stay here and hopefully someday raise his family.
So why do you think this seat, this Congressional District 8, it's important in Minnesota right now, but it's important nationally? So what is it about this area or what it means?
So this district has really become a swing district nationwide. It's some of the most expensive races in the country over the last few terms. And I think the people of this district really want someone who is an independent fighter, who stands up for what they believe, and then takes the shared values from this 27,500 square mile district, brings them out to Washington, and actually fights for those values. That's why I decided to jump into this race. It's why we put out our Northern New Deal platform. After going around and listening to folks for the better part of June, my grandpa always told me growing up, you get two ears and one mouth for a reason. We took that to heart and listened to hundreds of people throughout the district and built out our platform, which is making sure we have a Medicare for All system, that we're investing in the 21st century jobs and infrastructure that we need to thrive on our own as communities, and that we have a fair economy where workers are doing better than just keeping up with inflation. And then making sure that our students in the area can graduate from a two-year or four-year public institution debt-free.
So that was the last thing you said there. How would that happen? How could we make debt-free college, or how could things be better?
You know, I really look at our tax bills as something that reflects the values that we stand for. And I think that we've done a great job in the 6 years I've been in the legislature of investing in education and some pretty bold priorities, pre-K, different things that we didn't have in Minnesota before. And I think on a national level, we need to get back to investing in the American worker and working families, because we're barely able to keep up with the bills. It slows down the economy as a whole. And I can think of no better way to keep this country on track than putting those dollars right back into the people who could be out there buying a new house, investing in their communities, and making life a little bit better for themselves and their employers.
So if you win, you're going to represent the citizens of District 8, and the issues in District 8 are very complex. So how do you represent, so a lot of national media especially pits one against the other. They say jobs or the environment, as if those are the only two choices. So especially when it comes to mining, how do you handle such a complex issue when you're going to represent miners, you're going to represent businesses, and you're going to represent environmentalists as well?
Absolutely. And, you know, I support mining because I support our miners. They're great jobs. They're great people. Some of the hardest, most productive working miners on the planet, bar none. And what we really have is, I think, generations of stewardship that have enabled, like, the city I live in, Virginia, to source its water from a reclaimed mine pit. And that's a daily testament to the work that our parents and grandparents did to turn things over to us in a little better shape than they found it. And I think we have the tools right here in this district with Natural Resource Research Institute in Hermantown. And they have a bacteria that can eat the sulfate that we've debated this year at the Capitol, and the byproduct is a fertilizer you can sell to farmers. And part of our platform in the Northern New Deal is making sure that we're investing in the water infrastructure and other community infrastructure that we need to turn things over to our kids and let them inherit something that's a little better than we got it.
So let's talk about the future a little bit, because you talked about your son, you talked about wanting to kind of create something for the future. What are some new things as you've traveled around and met people that might give you hope about this region of America?
So we just in the last about 11 days have hit 17 out of the 18 counties here, been touring small businesses, distilleries, brew pubs, and there's a lot of excitement out there with the economy we have up here relying on tourism in the summers. And those people are able to get a business up and running, make it through the winter, and what they want to see is a government that's investing back in their small businesses and prioritizing them versus the big corporations. We're hearing that quite a bit. They want their health care to be affordable and make sure that they aren't paying ever-increasing costs for their prescription medications. So I think we have a real opportunity here to make the investments to allow those people a little more security by investing in like a Medicare for All, or making sure that when they graduate from college, they don't have $100,000 in debt they're paying off over the next 20 years and can actually get to focus on growing jobs in our communities all over the 8th Congressional District. As an example, right now, something I worked on in the legislature was getting a Canadian solar manufacturer. And they're hiring about 130 people, it sounds like, by the end of September in Mountain Iron. And so those are things I think we can do throughout this district, grow jobs, and build a future here that is connected with the internet and all the great things and tools that we see in other more metropolitan areas. Get it out here, give our people a shot, and they're going to work hard and prove that we can rebuild this economy.
So you said there are 18 counties, you said, in the district?
Correct, yep.
So, and how many community colleges in?
I would have to.
Brainerd.
Yeah, we have.
There's at least five, I would think, right?
More than five.
Yeah.
I think it's probably about 9 or 10.
9 or 10. So, you know, you mentioned solar. So a lot of times community colleges are at the front of this, of job training. What do you see, especially for community colleges in District 8?
Yeah, so I've actually been the chair for the last 4 years of the higher ed committee on the IRRRB up here. And we've invested in specific training for our wood products industry here in Grand Rapids. We've got a veterinary training program up in Ely in Virginia. We got Iron Range Engineering in Hibbing. We've got a nursing program. And so we've invested some local dollars to help those schools expand the number of students that they can have, the level of expertise those students are leaving with, and their job placement is really, really good. We have a role model, I think, just up here that we can replicate and get out to other schools so that we're filling the open positions out there. Last year, Deed put out, and that's a Minnesota jobs folks, put out a report saying 68% of our manufacturers in Minnesota cannot find the trained personnel to fill the openings that they have. So I think it's our responsibility to make sure that we're partnering with those businesses and making sure that we're getting people plugged in so that they can go fill those jobs.
So any issues, you talked about this new Northern New Deal, and people can find information on it at jasonmetza.com. Anything more specific that you wanted to focus on here? We talked a little bit about elderly. Anything on veterans that you would want to say?
Yeah, I think we need to make sure that when our veterans are coming home, that they're getting their promises that we made to them kept. And I know just from the state legislative work I've done that our federal government isn't doing enough right now. We have people who get picked up at 3 in the morning, they're driving all the way down to a VA hospital down in the cities, and it could be just for a simple checkup. And so we've got to figure out solutions that work for them, work for their families. It's one of the reasons I carried and chief authored the bill, paid family and medical leave. You know, I think a lot of families would love to take that time to take care of a loved one, especially if they've served our country. And right now they don't have the opportunity most times to leave work and without fear of losing their job for an extended period to do that. And I think we need to make those kinds of programs accessible to people.
It's DFL candidate Representative Jason Metza. He's running for District 8 Congress seat. The primaries are coming up Tuesday, August 14th. You can vote right now early at your local courthouse or check the Secretary of State's website to find out more information. Thanks for stopping by, Jason.
Hey, thank you for having me.